We don't worship a place. We don't worship a thing. We're not better off because we've touched this or we've been there or traveled. What is that? That's a man-made religion. That's a system of works. That doesn't gain us any favor with God. Worship now, in light of me being here, Jesus says, has nothing to do with a place. It has everything to do with a person, the person of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. My name's Craig, and I get to serve as host of our program, and I get to remind us all that Live in the Light is a radio ministry that is intentionally focused on bringing glory to God through the open declaration of His truth. What does that mean? Well, it means going verse by verse through God's Word and expecting to be changed. We love the living, active Word of God around here. Hey, and today in our study of Philippians, we turn a corner into chapter 3 and we look specifically at this topic of worship. Now, that's a word that gets bounced around a lot here in our churches, but what does it mean? What does it really mean? How can you spot the counterfeits? That's all ahead for us today on Live in the Light in Philippians chapter 3. So let's turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, with today's message entitled Authentic versus Counterfeit Worship.
You see, the Pharisees in the day of Jesus were obsessed being Judaizers in a form of worship legalistically, but it wasn't authentic. It was counterfeit. You could say there was great intention. You can say there was massive effort. You can say there was such strict observance to what they thought that was right. But at the end of the day, it was counterfeit because it was not of Christ. It was of man. They were relying on a physical circumcision, not a spiritual one. They thought by what they did, they could get an audience with God to gain entrance to heaven. But the whole reason Jesus came was, we'll never be in the place where we're good enough to gain acceptance or entrance into heaven. It's called sin. We all have it, and it keeps us out of heaven. The spiritually circumcised, the spiritually minded, this spiritual faith within us. This is what Jesus requires from us to place in Him that we might be saved. And then you see we have authentic worship as opposed to a worship of the flesh. Let me stop here for a second because a lot's been said right now. I just feel led just to take a moment and just be like, okay, so I wonder who here right now, that even as we've gone along so far, you're wondering, have I been relying on a counterfeit system of religion? I'm not asking you to doubt your salvation, but the Bible does ask us to examine it. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that. Because this is such a healthy exercise. Is there authentic, grace-induced, Spirit of God-born worship in our lives? I'm not saying you don't have hard days. Man, I got too many hard days, I like to admit. But at the end of the day, is my worship of the Lord, and we'll get there in just a second, or are there signs that maybe I might be playing a game that is actually, at the end of the day, not real? If there were people here right now that you have been religious for years but not in relationship, the greatest thing that could ever happen right now is for you to repent of sin and run to Jesus Christ and be set free, that you may never have to question again and stop trying so hard because you've been granted forgiveness for sin, past, present, future, because all that Jesus did and died for you and shed His blood in your behalf. I mean, talk about a new life change, that you could be spiritually transformed by nothing you've done, by everything Jesus has done. That's what Paul's doing right now, man. He's like, watch out for those who are teaching something different though, right? There's a physical circumcision, but it meant nothing. They had a religion, but no relationship. Their worship was counterfeit. This is why Paul could say though, we in Christ, we are the true circumcision. In Christ, by Christ, for Christ. You might be asking, okay, so what does this look like Exactly. We touched on it a bit, but now we're going to go point by point. In verse 3, Paul lays it out. Here's what authentic worship looks like. It's the rest of the message. Point 1A is this now. Authentic worship, ready? Number 1, spirit-empowered. Counterfeit worship is man-empowered. Authentic worship is spirit-empowered. In verse 3, Paul unpacks this. Look at verse 3 now. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God." Now watch this, loved ones. The single greatest difference between religion and relationship, between authentic and counterfeit worship, is the Holy Spirit of God. The single greatest difference is the Holy Spirit of God. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He was saying, you must be spiritually reborn. Unless one is spiritually reborn, they cannot undergo spiritual circumcision. The only way to truly produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit is to be born of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you are left with what? You are left with cold, dry religion, empty ceremony, and legalism. Remember several years ago, I was touring Israel, specifically the old city in Jerusalem, and I was at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the traditional site of what they believe is Calvary and where the tomb was placed, and this church, this massive shrine of iconic activity. It's quite a sight. And people come there from all over the world and they are literally worshiping at a place because there's such veneration of objects and what they consider to be the certain places where Jesus was. In fact, I want to put a picture of for you up here on the screen. This is just of this last Easter. This is just in a London newspaper. And this is at the church of the Holy Sepulchre. And this is the place where they believe in this rock here where Jesus was anointed before his burial. And people will come on. There's lots of things like this when you go play, and you see, in this case, you see the women there. If I can just touch the rock, if I can just get close, if I can pray, if I can be at this place, if I can be on this spot, if I can touch it with my hands, if I can do something to get closer to God, then I'll be more blessed. But this is the exact opposite of everything we're reading in Scripture and the gospel. It doesn't matter if you're close to Jerusalem in this place or you live in Timbuktu. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, man, you're as legitimate and alive in him as you are anyone else who's ever gone to Jerusalem or not, all right? Going to Jerusalem, bless you. It's awesome, okay? If you don't, you're okay. One's not holy because they do or one's not holy because they don't, all right? That's the amazing thing about this. We don't worship a place. We don't worship a thing. We're not better off because we've touched this or we've been there or traveled. What is that? That's a man-made religion. That's a system of works. That doesn't gain us any favor with God. I mean, I think about it. In John chapter 4, right? When Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, the whole point of that conversation at the end of the day, Jesus says, worship now in light of me being here, Jesus says, has nothing to do with a place. Has everything to do with a person, the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus says, the Father is seeking true worshipers. And that word true really stood out to me in my Bible because of real circumcision. The Father is seeking true worshipers, right? Before Christ came, worship was confined in some ways to a temple or a tabernacle. When Jesus Christ comes, he now says this, he says, listen, the time has come and gone where you go to a place to worship. The Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. What God's saying right there, and Jesus is saying, the temple now is the person alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we always say around here, point to the temple right now. Point to the temple. Here's the temple. We're the temple. That's awesome. The temple of the Holy Spirit, if you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you don't come to this place to worship. We are the worship. We gather together as the church of God, as the temple of the Holy Spirit. The building's not special. What's special are the people right now alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. See what Jesus is saying? That's awesome. True worshipers. I mean, right now, maybe this is setting some people free. Jesus makes you alive You become the temple. The worship happens within you. It's not about what you do. You are so overwhelmed that you are loved with the grace of God. That gives you the desire and motivation and love then to give your life to Him in response to the love He's given to you. Always, we can say it every time, right? You don't work for Christ to earn. You work for Christ out of love because of how He's loved you. That's Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, right? By grace you are saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. And it goes on to say, we are God's workmanship. See, grace leads to faith, leads to life, leads to the created workmanship. We now give our lives. I'm serving as a pastor in response to how Christ has loved me with His grace. He doesn't like me more because I'm doing this right now. He loves me for reasons I can't possibly comprehend. Before the foundation of the world, He chose me. Like that song He sang tonight. I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. If you're like me and you're just like, man, if I were you, I'd be against me. I'm a moron, you know? And all the sin in my life and all the times I mess up and like really, really, I have to remind myself of the gospel every day and be like, this is crazy love. And yet it's true. I mean, who's that for right now? You're just like, you're in a place like me maybe often. You're just like, I don't deserve to be loved. I know. You know, I mess up all the time. I know. I don't deserve God's grace. I know. I know. I say I know because I agree. And yet Jesus comes up and says, yeah, but it's not about what you do. It's not about what you've done. It's not about how well you do today or tomorrow. It's not about whether or not you found yourself in the right place. What it's about is, do you love me? And have you placed my faith in me? And if you've done that, man, then as far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed His sin from us, that's awesome. That's the gospel. That's the incomprehensible, inexhaustible love of God that's available to every single person here right now. And to renew our minds for those of us who are beaten down by the enemy's accusations and temptations and how he's tried to pummel us, but right now we're set free in Jesus Christ because we are the true circumcision. We are the ones who are spiritually alive in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He has done. We're not worshiping out of our effort, worshiping out of our love. The real circumcision is who worship by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the single greatest difference maker in the Christian life, the Holy Spirit of God. Is He in you? Remember when we did our series a little while ago on the Holy Spirit? Remember, I never saw the Holy Spirit more in my Bible. Just pop, 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 popped everywhere. And specifically reading through the book of Acts, and I remember just like, man, the Holy Spirit is the book of Acts. I mean, the church is nothing apart from the Holy Spirit of God. So it got to the point where I was reading, I went to my title page in my Bible and I did this. I had to do this. It's the Acts of the Apostles, but I had to put in here, well, it is, but it's also Him for sure, okay? So if you want to write in your Bible, you can do that too, all right? But this is the reality, man. There is no book of the Acts of the church with the Holy Spirit every time. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to proclaim the word of God with boldness, like every single time. They were filled with the Spirit and lives got changed. They were filled with the Spirit and the Spirit of God came upon them. And Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Authentic worship, loved ones, is Spirit empowered. Stop and consider. Is my worship in my own strength? Is my worship dry? Is my worship boring? Is my worship lifeless? Hey, listen. Is my worship dead? Is it dead? Oh, to be strengthened and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We all have dry times. We all have dry times. I consider myself right now to be in a dry time. Repent of sin. Expect to receive from the Lord. Don't give up. And anticipate revival of the heart. You want to pray for your pastor right now? Pray for that for me. Pray in the midst of all the different things that happen. True repentance, to receive from the Lord and to be revived of heart. Pray that for my family. I'll pray for you. Pray for you. Pray that within my home. Pray that within this church. Pray that the authenticity of worship would never be more seen through the Holy Spirit of God, who doesn't fill us and renew us again based on what we do because of how much we're loved in Christ. Authentic worship is spirit empowered. Point 1b, authentic worship is glory driven. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3 says this, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus." Is my worship authentic? Here's how you know. It's in the word glory. Glory means, in the original, what we boast in, what we take pride in, what gives us joy. Again, really though, the greatest expression is, what do we boast in? We worship by the Spirit of God and boast in, we glory in Christ Jesus. Now consider when someone is truly saved in Christ, what happens? They are so overwhelmed by God's grace. All they can say, thank you, Jesus. I can't believe I'm saved in Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And we often refer to them as trophies of grace because that's what they are. They're an example of the grace of God that has caused them to be transformed by the gospel. And all their boast is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They stand in the baptism tank and they proclaim the love and the glory of Jesus. And they say things like, man, I used to live for myself, but now my boast is in the Lord, because they understand that everything I've been given is in Christ. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I had no future before, but now my future is bright with heaven because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My glory is in Christ Jesus. My boast is in him. Loved ones, that's a massive sign of authentic worship. What do we boast in? What do we glory in? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What is that? That's boasting in Christ. That's authentic worship. I'm a wretch. I deserve death, but Jesus Christ has set me free. I mean, our very context and passage, like Saul, remember Saul? Saul turned Paul. Saul of Tarsus, now Paul the apostle. I mean, a total transformation, ready, of self-glory to Christ's glory. I mean, if you think about it, let's just look at our context. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 7, okay? Watch him live for the glory of Christ. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ, okay? What's happening there? You want to boast in Christ? Less of the world, more of Christ. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For the sake, his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. You want to boast in Christ? Well, that's treasure in Christ versus the trash of the world. This is how we see here. Look at verse 9 now. And being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends again on faith, okay? You want to boast in Christ? You move from fear all the time, afraid of everything, to faith. We boast in Christ by exercising our faith in him. Verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. What is that? That's power, the power to live, the power through suffering. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. Do you want to boast in Christ? Live with perspective. Heaven's coming. The resurrection of the dead is mine in Christ. Look at verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Here's one, possession. You want to boast in Christ? You're his possession. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You could say purity there. One thing I do. You want to boast in Christ? Live with purity for Christ. And last one, I probably go on forever. Last one, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call. Two more words, prize and then press on. You want to boast in Christ? Want to glory in Christ? Paul is laying it out for us right here. Power and perspective and pressing on and purity and there's passion there. But see what's happening here. Paul's bleeding. You cut Paul, he bleeds glory to Christ. He didn't before. Before, it was all self. Again, I got to pause here for a second. If you're here right now, we can't. We just cut you open. It would be self. It would be religion. It would be works. But when we're spiritually reborn, then all of a sudden we are spiritually cut, and then all of a sudden we bleed glory to Christ. Notice the order of this. We worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. You can only glory in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of God. He fills us. And Lord, would you fill us? God, would you fill us? Would you renew us? And that we might truly glory in you. Authentic worship, Spirit-empowered, glory-driven. Thirdly, point 1C, authentic worship is this, flesh-rejecting. Flesh-rejecting. Look at the end of verse 3 now. It says, and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, notice Paul's play on words here, right? For we are the real circumcision, and we put no confidence in the flesh. I mean, that's like a double meaning there, right? It's like, we're not going to put our trust in a physical circumcision to somehow get us where we need to be with God. So we put no confidence in the literal flesh there, physical circumcision, but we have no confidence in the flesh as the old man or any system of works within our own lives. Why? Why no confidence in the flesh? Jesus says in John chapter 6, whenever I read John 6, verse 63, I think of Pastor Carl, because this was the youth theme verse for how many years? A long time? A long time. Still is? Awesome. Still is. Okay? Way to go, buddy. Okay? It says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. You're like, that's in the Bible? It is. John 6, 63. You can look it up. It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is of no help at all. Brilliant. Remember our context, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. Paul's like, if anyone has confidence in the flesh, I did. The Hebrew of Hebrews, zeal and righteousness, blameless under the law. I did everything I needed to do, except put my faith in Christ. And he says, all that now is nothing. Remember the gospel confronts Paul, right? And what happened? When Jesus Christ confronts Paul on the road to Damascus, his personal external righteousness in that moment is instantly turned to filthy rags, right? He thought he was wearing the best outfit the world could produce, the best outfit man could produce, the best outfit external human attempts at righteousness. He was on his way to kill Christians, and he was robed in his own deeds. And he meets Christ, and instantly his perception of his righteousness is turned to filthy pauper peasant rags. And every person who meets Jesus Christ at the end of this life, who is relying on themselves, they too, in the moment they meet Jesus, will find out that everything they thought was adding up is also filthy, despised rags of human nothing. And this is why Paul says, I count all things as loss. Because all of a sudden I saw the righteousness that's found in Jesus Christ. He wanted a whole new wardrobe. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says this. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all, this is from the King James Version, so I want to pull this out. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Not one person on their own will stand before and say, hey, look how good I look. Every person will stand and be exposed for what it truly is. Our righteousness, again, adds up to nothing. But notice what Zechariah then says. Zechariah 3 says this. Okay, this is for someone right now, right? This is a prophecy of the gospel, what Jesus Christ would accomplish before Jesus Christ was even on earth. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity, that means sin. I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments, with robes of righteousness. That's the gospel. It's the great exchange. Our unrighteousness goes on Christ. His glorious righteousness comes on us. We now stand before God as pure and innocent, as though we've never sinned, as though we've always obeyed, because of what Jesus Christ has done. So this is why Paul says, for we are the true circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh because the flesh can't do anything. Who is here right now? And if truth be told, you are in filthy rags. And you tried to dress up, you tried to put it up, you tried to button this and button that and put yourself prim and proper at the end of the day and tried everything you could do to make it. But at the end of the day, it hasn't worked. And maybe for the first time ever, you've realized this. Listen, salvation is offered to you today. Salvation is offered to you to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ by grace, again through faith. And then you could sing with us in just a few moments the last chorus of this beautiful song, Cornerstone, of course, from the original hymn. This is every believer. All those truly spiritually circumcised by grace through faith. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Here we go, here we go. Dressed in his righteousness alone, standing faultless, will stand before the throne. I love when the songs we sing just pop with truth. And that's what we're doing right now. Who here right now? In fact, I want two specific invitations right now. Who here wants to exchange their filthy rags for robes of righteousness found only in Jesus Christ? That today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day you repent of sin. Today is the day you run to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the day you say, Jesus Christ, I need you to set me free. I want to be alive in you. I'm wondering also too, you know, next weekend we get to celebrate baptism. Baptism is the celebration and the symbol that this has taken place within your life. That you are now wearing robes. Baptism doesn't earn you robes of righteousness. Baptism is a symbol that you are wearing the robes of Jesus Christ upon you because he loved you and forgave you. I want to challenge some of you in here right now, that you're here right now and you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized. I want to challenge you specifically that you would consider being baptized, that you would take the step of obedience where you are right now and you would choose to walk in faith because you know that Jesus Christ has set you free. And the least you can do is to stand up before his church and declare the praise and glory to him because of how much he's loved you. Then you want to stand up and say, yes, this is true. I am a child of God. I've been set free. And Jesus Christ loves me and I love him. Who's that for right now? No more delay. No more putting off. But you wanted this week to go and consider that this is for you right now, that Jesus Christ will work within our lives. Listen, loved ones, now we get to sing. Now we get to respond. Now we get to praise him for what we did. Listen, those truly spiritually circumcised by grace through faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the power of your word. I pray right now, Lord, I pray right now that you are saving people for the first time. I pray right now you are giving faith to believers to be revived in heart, to be renewed in mind, to be restored in soul. How can we do this without you? I pray the authenticity of our worship will never be greater. Not by external acts, but by the inward working of the Spirit of God to boast and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.
At Live in the Light, we are all about God's people being radically changed by God's truth. And because of that, we're praying for lives changed. Will you join us in this prayer? We'd love to have your support. Have you been challenged or encouraged recently by something that you heard on this program? This is your opportunity to step forward and give so someone else can be encouraged like you have been. You can give to Live in the Light online at liveinthelight.ca or by calling us at 844-225-4448. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time on Live in the Light.